So today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Our focus will be on chapter 24, which is called as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. We will specifically discuss text number 33, Canto 4, chapter 24, text 33. Text 33 goes as follows. Shri Rudra Vacha,
Shri Rudra Vacha,
Jitanta Atma Vedvarya,
Jitanta Atma Vedvarya,
Jitanta Atma Vedvarya,
Jitanta Atma Vedvarya,
Svastaye Svasti Astu Me,
Svastaye Svasti
Svastaye
Svasti Astu Me,
Avatara Dasharadham,
Avatara
Dasharadham,
Avatara Dasharadham,
Sarvasma Atmane Namaha,
Sarvasma Atmane Namaha,
Sarvasma Atmane Namaha, Chetanas Chetananam. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the chief living being amongst all living beings. There are different kinds of individual living beings. Some of them are in this material world and some are in the spiritual world. Those who are in the spiritual world are known to be completely self-realized, because on the spiritual platform, the living entity is not forgetful of his service to the Lord. Therefore, in the spiritual world, all those who are in the devotional service of the Lord are eternally fixed, for they understand the position of the Supreme Being as well as their individual constitution. Thus, amongst self-realized souls, the Lord is known as the perfectly self-realized soul. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. When the individual soul is fixed in his knowledge of the Lord as the Supreme Being, this is a very central line here. When the individual soul is fixed in his knowledge of the Lord as the Supreme Being, he actually becomes established in an all-auspicious position. Lord Shiv prays here that his auspicious position continue eternally by virtue of the Lord's mercy upon him. The Supreme Lord is all perfect, and the Lord instructs that one who worships him also becomes perfect. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Mattah Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Lord is situated as the super soul in everyone's heart, but he is so kind to his devotees that he gives them instructions by which they may continue to progress. When they receive instructions from the All Perfect, there is no chance of their being misled. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.1. The Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenama Upayantite. The Lord is always ready to give instructions to the pure devotee, so that the devotee can advance further and further in devotional service. Since the Lord gives instructions as Sarvatma, the super soul, Lord Shiv offers him respect with the words Sarvatma Atmane Namaha. The individual soul is called Atma, and the Lord is also called Atma as well as Paramatma. Being situated in everyone's heart, the Lord is known as the Supreme Atma. Therefore, all obeisances are offered unto him. In this regard, one may refer to the prayers of Kunti in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.20. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema hi striyaha. The Lord is always ready to give instructions to the Paramahamsas, or the topmost devotees of the Lord, who are completely liberated from all contaminations of the material world. The Lord always gives instructions to exalted devotees to inform them how they can remain fixed in devotional service. Similarly, it is stated in the Atma Rama verse, Bhagavatam 1.7.10, Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urkrame Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhakti Ittham Bhuta Gunamarihi. The word Atma Ram refers to those who are not interested in the material world. The word Atma Ram refers to those who are not interested in the material world but are simply engaged in spiritual realization. Such self-realized persons are generally considered in two categories, impersonal and personal. However, impersonalists also become devotees when they are attracted by the personal transcendental qualities of the Lord. The conclusion is that Lord Shiv wanted to remain a fixed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. As explained in the following verses, Lord Shiv never desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord like the impersonalists. Rather, he thinks that it would be good fortune for him to continue to be fixed in the understanding of the Lord as the Supreme Being. By this understanding, one realizes that all living entities, including Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and other demigods, are servants of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Vambhum Langayate Girim Yatrupatam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam वाचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादी गौरवस्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो दिस इज टेक्स्ट नंबर 33 ऑफ कैंटो 4 ऑफ चैप्टर 24 ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम सो टुडे वी आर बिगिनिंग what is called as the Rudra Gita. There are many Gitas which come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One such Gita is the Rudra Gita. Then there is Veru Gita, Viraha Gita, Gopi Gita, so many other. So, this Gita is personally composed and sung by Lord Shiva. So, before we come to this work, a very quick context of what events have led up to this Lord Rudra speaking these verses spontaneously. Srimad Bhagavatam at this moment is a conversation that's happening between Maitreya Muni and Vidurji on the lineage of Maharaj Prithu. In that discussion, which with the chapter has begun, Maharaj Prithu was explaining the various descendants of Maitreya Muni was explaining to Vidurji about the various descendants of Maharaj Prithu. One of the famous descendants of Maharaj Prithu is Maharaj Barhisar, who is also known as Prachin Barhisar. Maharaj Barhisar was very expert in Karma Kanda as well as Ashtanga Yoga, which is a very rare combination. And because of this greatness that he had, that he was adept at both, he was given responsibility to become a Prajapati, which means that he has to take responsibility for progeny. He married the daughter of the ocean, Satadruti, and had 10 children who were known as the Prachetas. These Prachetas, it is said they were equally perfect in dharma, jnana, bhakti and sadachar, in all four. Religiosity, knowledge, devotion and behavior, all four they were adapted. Knowing the mind of their father, that we have to assist our father in generating progeny, they went underwater to intensely meditate on Lord Krishna. And that is where they met Lord Shivji. Lord Shivji's reintroduction at this point in time in Srimad Bhagavatam comes as a timely guru to the Rajetas. So, having heard this, Vidurji is asking Maitreya Muni, can you please tell me what happened in that meeting when Lord Shivji gave darshan to the Rajetas? Why Lord Shivji was so pleased with the Rajetas, and what kind of instructions did Lord Shiv give to the Rajetas? So, having heard this question from Vidurji, Maitreya Muni is now continuing. He says that the Prachetas went to a great body of water to do austerities while entering that water. So that is what happens at that point in time. And from verse 22 onwards, specifically, the beauty of that particular reservoir of water, you can call it a lake if you like. So the beauty of the lake and the beauty of the surrounding ambience is described from verse 22. As these Prachetas approach that beautiful place to meditate on Lord Vishnu, as they go near, they start hearing kettle drums and various other musical instruments. As they go nearby, suddenly they see the beautiful form of Lord Shivji emerge from those waters along with his associates. The focus shifts from the beauty of the ambience of the lake to the beauty of Lord Shivji. It is mentioned that Lord Shiv, when they looked at him, he had a molten gold complexion. He had a bluish throat. He had three eyes, and with all those three eyes, he was looking very mercifully at the Rajetas. In an earlier verse, Maitreya Muni had said that even the great sages find it very difficult to have darshan of Lord Shivji. Even the great yogis, it's extremely difficult for them to have darshan. And in that, Srila Prabhupada writes purport that even to see Lord Brahmaji, one needs to have perfected Varnashrama Dharma and implemented perfect Varnashrama Dharma for 100 lifetimes to have darshan of Lord Brahma. And then when one further advances, one can have darshan of Lord Shivji. So now the question comes, how come the Prachetas got this darshan? So Srila Prabhupada writes, this is the beauty of being a devotee. This is the advantage of being a devotee. For a devotee of Lord Krishna, Lord Shivji gives darshan just like that. Of course, you have to have sufficient purification as a devotee of God Krishna. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport there. Prabhupada says that while Lord Krishna is called as Bhakta Vatsal, Lord Shivji is called Dharma Vatsal. Bhakta Vatsal means protector of the devotees. Dharma Vatsal is, now Prabhupada gives that in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that Lord Shivji actually is very pleased with someone who even follows an iota of religiosity. Okay. And there Prabhupada writes that usually people who do not follow Lord Krishna but only worship Lord Shiva as the Supreme, these are the people who have not understood the scriptures. Okay. They have not understood that Lord Shiva comes from Lord Krishna. They have not understood that. Further, it's not that they have great love for Lord Shivji. They know that Lord Shivji is Ashutosh, easily pleased. So, they call themselves as Lord Shiva's devotees only because they derive quick material benedictions from Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also knows that. It's not that he is being tricked by these devotees. He knows. But he sees the small good quality of even these people who come to him for material benedictions. And therefore, the small amount of religiosity which they follow to get these big material benedictions, Lord Shiva sees that small religiosity. Therefore, he is mentioned as Dharma Vatsal.
So Prabhupada gives that very enlightening purport there.
Now, if Lord Shivji is pleased as Dharma Vatsal, how much more will he be pleased when someone is approaching with no material desires, simply to follow the instructions of Lord Vishnu, coming through Lord Brahma, coming through their father Prachin Varhi, just to procreate and populate the material world, which is Lord Krishna's desire. So how much more he will be pleased? So the intent of the Prachetas was very pleasing to Lord Shivaji, and that's why he gave them mercy. The second reason he gave them mercy, intent simply is not important. There has to be piety and behavior as well. So, Prachetas, the Lord Shiva saw that they were so pious and well behaved by nature, and then they were devotees of Lord Krishna. So, what not to speak of the yogis who are trying to take Lord Shivaji's darshan by performing big tapasya in the Himalayas. Here, Lord Shivaji wants to give darshan to the Prachetas. It is not that Prachetas wanted Lord Shivaji's darshan. Lord Shiv is seeing this intent and he is saying, I am going to go and give them darshan. This is very similar to quote or the instruction which we all have. Do not try to see Lord Krishna. Behave in such a way, act in such a way that he will want to see us. So similarly here, the Prachetas are conducting themselves so nicely that Lord Shivaji wants to come and give them darshan, and the yogis there are trying to get Lord Shivaji's darshan by dint of their austerity. So Prabhupada is bringing this point very beautifully in this section. Not only that, Lord Shivaji's mercy is just not that he has personally come to give darshan to the Prachetas. The mercy of a guru is not simply that the guru is giving darshan to all of us. The mercy of a guru is that the Guruji is giving personal instruction to all of us. And that is the height of the mercy that the Prachetas are receiving from Lord Shivaji. He begins giving his instructions from today's verse, which is called as Rudra Gita. And today is the first instruction that he is giving. Now it's interesting. Lord Shivaji is telling them that he's not actually telling them that I'm going to give an instruction so explicitly. He says, I'm going to give you a mantra. And that mantra is not one single mantra, it's a series of verses called as Rudra Gita. He says, he very affectionately tells the Prachetas that I'm going to teach you this Rudra Gita now, and if you people chant this Rudra Gita, you can attain the perfection of human existence, which is attain Vishnu Bhakti, the highest perfection of existence. And he also urges them, it's not that he starts speaking and then leaves it to the Prachetas, he urges them to hear this attentively. And Srila Prabhupada quickly uses this moment to tell all of us, to caution all of us on the perils of inattentiveness to the holy name given by Guru. Not only that, Srila Prabhupada also tells us that the holy name, which is already very effective, becomes even more effective when it comes through the lips, when it is given through the lips of a bona fide spiritual guru in disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada brings out that in his purports. The Prachetas are standing with folded hands in all humility in front of Lord Shivaji now. And Lord Shivaji now is beginning the recitation of Rudra Gita, which commences today and continues up to verse 68 of this particular chapter. So, quite possible that it will be another, for next 1 month, 1.5 months, we could be discussing Rudra Gita in our Srimad Bhagavatam classes, IIT Melbourne, Mahasarupa there. So today's verse, which is the first verse of the Rudra Gita, there are several learnings that come out not only from what came out of Lord Shivaji's lips, but equally importantly, the purport which Srila Prabhupada has written. If you look at this purport, it's a very long purport Srila Prabhupada gives, and Prabhupada is trying to give us a
very deep understanding of what is Lord Shivaji's mood that he spoke this verse. So Prabhupada is writing here, and Prabhupada writes in 2-3 areas. What is Lord Shivaji's mood here? To become fixed in Krishna consciousness, to attain Nishtha in Krishna consciousness. So this verse, the essence of this verse, if you see, is Lord Shivaji is praying for, actually in one sense he is praying for himself, saying that by through this prayer, O Lord, please keep me always in Nishtha. Nishtha means please let me never forget that you are the Supreme Being. And for Lord Shivaji to say that, it is not something ordinary. For all of us to say that, yes, we are anyway, we don't have any position, right? But Lord Shiva is, Prabhupada writes many times, the Lord Shivaji is almost the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in one sense, he is a runner-up, right? You will never find, you will rarely find a runner-up constantly glorifying number one. You will normally find the runner-up competing with number one. For example, in tennis, you will not find the number two who has just lost Wimbledon glorifying the number one throughout the year and praying that may you always be number one, may always be, I always remember that you are number one. No, it doesn't happen in the material world. But Lord Shivaji's consciousness is nothing like that. That is why he is almost the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is the greatest Mahajan. He is not an ordinary person. So, there are many, several learnings that come from today's specific recitation of the first verse from Bhagavad Gita. So, we will take a look at some of these learnings. The first point which struck me when I was studying this particular section is that Lord Shiva's bhakti to Lord Vishnu. It has been said several times, we are Upanukas. In several purports, in Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find Srila Prabhupada says that our love for Lord Krishna is shown in how much we are enthusiastic and eager and compassionate to give this love to other devotees. So ours is a preaching movement. We are Goshti Anandis. We are not Bhajan Anandis. So we don't keep Lord Krishna to ourselves. We want to give Krishna to the whole world. That was Srila Prabhupada's leela, essentially. So was that the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as well and Bhakti Raman Thakur as well and the other acharyas. To give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. Lord Shivaji knew very well that anyone facilitating the journey of other devotees back to Godhead is most dear to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Shivaji knows that that's the way that he can, by giving Krishna consciousness to others, he can retain his own dearness to Lord Vishnu. Now, so what better way than to take this opportunity where seekers are walking in? For example, some seeker, somebody is walking on the road here and you come to know that they are seeking the absolute truth. Let's say they are walking in Williams Landing. Would you not catch them for a program and then bring them to your program? Yes. So which devotee will not do that, right? When you know that there is a genuine seeker, automatically even a practicing devotee gets very enthusiastic to facilitate that person's journey and connect them to the temple and connect them to Krishna consciousness and to the devotees. So here Lord Shivaji is saying that these prajetas are approaching with a very sincere intent of praying to Lord Vishnu. So what better way than to glorify the Lord in front of these devotees to train, instruct and inspire them to surrender to Lord Vishnu. And that's why he speaks the first verse of Rudra. So, in that sense, Lord Shivaji is playing the role of Guru to perfection, because it is the role of a Guru to inspire his or her disciple in their journey of Krishna consciousness, in developing intensity in their journey to attain Krishna. So for the Pracheta, Lord Shivaji was their first Vaishnava Guru in that sense. Now, if you see the mood of Lord Shivaji, as I was mentioning before, there is Lord Shivaji is not even in the slightest mood here of he being the greatest devotee of Lord Vishnu. He is not in that mood. Nor is he in the mood of being the most powerful entity after Lord Vishnu. He is neither thinking of himself as a great devotee or Mahajan, nor as a next powerful human, not next powerful personality after Lord Vishnu.
Very humble position.
Very humble position, yes. So his mood is completely one of being Lord Vishnu's servant, and how he can please Lord Vishnu by offering guidance and direction to sincere seekers of Krishna Bhakti without any vested interest. Like Rupa Goswami writes in Nectar of Devotion, any activity that we do in Krishna consciousness, there is one reality which defines whether it is bhakti or not, and that is intent. The intention with which we do something. We can do so many things. So we can do so many great things in Krishna bhakti. We can do big projects, we can do so many things. But what decides whether it is bhakti or not is simply intent. That is why pure bhakti is defined itself as anya abhilashita shunyam. There is no other intent except pleasing the Vaishnavas and pleasing Lord Krishna through that pleasure of the Vaishnava. So Lord Shiva is showing the integrity of purpose in this Rudra Gita. The second aspect which comes forth when we study this section is that Lord Shiva's prayers to Lord Vishnu are spontaneously composed. Very spontaneous, coming from his heart. It's not that he's preparing to give a presentation. His love is coming spontaneously through Rudra Gita, and he starts singing this. So prayers that come spontaneously from the heart are classified as vandanam. There are in the process of Navaveda Bhakti, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, leading up to Atma Nivedanam. One key aspect is vandanam or prayers. So here, Lord Shivji is giving a great example of vandanam. In the form of prayer. So, prayers like this, in fact, few months back, I'm not sure who visited, somebody was saying this, that prayers such as this, I think it was Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was mentioning this, but Amaranda Prabhu was saying this, Amaranda Prabhu was saying that we should study these prayers which are given in various sections by exalted personalities unto Lord Krishna, and we can select one such prayer which, no, or we can select more also, but at least one which touches our heart, and we should say those prayers daily. So it's quite possible some devotees may get attached to this Rudra Gita of Lord Shivji. So prayer as a process is a very integral part of cultivating our devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, prayer is, vandana is one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. If you study Rupa Goswami's 64 items, it is mentioned there that vandana is one of the very important aspects. So, this particular prayer which Lord Shivji is reciting comes under the category of samprarthana prayers. It's also called as samprarthanatmika prayers, as classified by Srila Jiva Goswami. So, what is samprarthanatmika prayer? These prayers are those that have the purpose of firming the mind and senses in devotional service. I repeat, samprarthanatmika prayers are prayers which have the purpose. The purpose of these prayers are to firm our mind as well as senses in devotional service. Now, let us go back and see the key line here in the Prabhupada's purport, where Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that Lord Shiv wanted to remain a fixed or a firm devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why prayers which result or which are a plea to the Lord, vandanam, which are a plea to the Lord, where we are begging to be fixed in our position in devotional service, we are praying never to forget the supremacy of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where we are praying that let me, my position, let it always remain Das, Dasana Das. Prayers such as that are called as Samprajnika prayers. Another point that comes, which is a characteristic of Samprajnika prayer, is that Srila Jiva Goswami says that these are characteristics of those Samprajnika which are prayers ordinarily are characteristic of those who have not yet attained the bhav. Okay, obviously, because they are praying to become fixed and Nishtha comes before bhava. So they are characteristics of people who have not yet attained bhava. But it is amazing that Lord Shivaji is speaking this verse. So is he not there? Obviously not. So Lord Shivaji is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, kind of Mahajan. But in his humility, he is praying that let me be fixed. However, Lord Shivaji is also very clever. It is not just his humility, but he is also giving us a good lesson, saying that if I am praying like this, then obviously, and we have to decipher that, we have to infer that. If Lord Shivaji is praying for such fixation, then what is our position? So, in one sense, this prayer is reminding us that we cannot take our eyes off Krishna consciousness at any point in time and take our bhakti or advancement, so-called advancement, for granted, right? So, this is also mentioned by various exalted personalities, various exalted Vaishnavas. Srimati Radharani herself, Satyabhama in Dwarka Leela, and that Satyabhama who came as Jagadananda Pandit in Chaitanya Leela, Jagadananda Pandit gave us Prema Vivarta. In Prema Vivarta, he has also cautioned us with the word Krishna Bhuli Jiva Bhoga Vanchakare Nikata Aste Maya Chapati Athare. Jagadananda Pandit himself is telling us, don't take your eyes off. In Hindi, we have a saying, Nazar Hati Ke Durgatna Hati, which means, if you take your eyes off, you could have an incident or an accident. So, to hear Samprajnika prayers of Lord Shiva, when he is speaking his prayers, it's not because he has to remain fixed in Krishna Bhakti, it is his humility. He is giving us this lesson that we cannot take our eyes off. And we have to constantly pray to remain fixed in the process of devotional service. Because really, if we look at our lives, the only real asset that we have developed in this life, by the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Vallabha, the Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir and the devotees here, the only asset which we really have is some attachment to the holy name that we have developed. Some exposure to the holy name that we have. Actually, that is the only punji or attachment that we have. Otherwise, anything can be taken, our wealth can go at any point in time, our bank balance can become zero, anything can happen, calamity can strike, health can go. So only thing that remains with us, which nobody can destroy, is our attachment to the holy name. And therefore, it is imperative that we also keep praying to the Lord that at least whatever I have been, preserve that. And Lord Krishna also says that I will preserve what you have and I will put what you lack. Now, So Lord Shivaji is giving this. Another important aspect is that he is giving these Samprajnika prayers to the Prachetas. As Guru, he is giving these prayers to Prachetas so they may attain Bhava Bhakti unto the Lord. They may attain the fixed and then go on to attain Bhava Bhakti. So, again, we see Lord Shivaji playing the role of a Guru to perfection. Now, we see these kind of prayer, Samprajnika prayers, we see several exalted personalities, in various scriptures. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjun doing this, offering these Samprajnika prayers, where he is glorifying Lord Krishna as the Supreme Being. Where he says, for example, in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the verses 12 and 13, where he says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitra Paramam. So he says that. So where, if you study the translation of that, we will find that Arjun is actually glorifying the divinity and the supremacy of Lord Krishna in those verses. And he encapsulates that very beautifully. He also takes that opportunity to say that it's not just merely that I have understood now that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages like Narad, Asita, Devala, all those people have also understood that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not just me saying this. So this is an example of a Samparatamatmika prayer. Another example, great example, is Akrur. When Akrur is has just taken Lord Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan, and he's in a pretty bad shape right now because the gopis have really not behaved very well with him. So they have not given him a great departure. So Akrur, nevertheless, he is very fixed in his service to Lord Krishna. So he realizes that now the time has come, Lord has to move on and start his Mathura pastime. So he's, then he takes Lord Krishna and then goes, and then they take their first journey break. And when he enters the waters of Yamuna, then he sees Lord Krishna, same Lord Krishna and Balaram in their form as Vasudeva and Shankarshan, Ananta Shesh. Right? So when he sees that form, then spontaneous outpourings, prayers come out from his heart. And that is also and a good example of Vandana. In fact, as much as for Shravanam, the example, the biggest example we know is Parikshit Maharaj, Kirtanam, Sukadeva Goswami, you know, so on and so forth. For Vandanam, it is Akrur, who is the example. So, there also he is giving these Samparatmatmika prayers. Now, such prayers, Samparatmatmika prayers, complement the other aspects of bhakti also. So we know that there are 9 aspects of bhakti, but Vandanam actually complements or supplements the other aspects very nicely. Many a times we are being reminded, do not chant mechanically. So we are advised to chant in a prayerful mood. So the prayer is Vandanam. So Vandanam very nicely supplements our japa or kirtanam. And if we are familiar and remember these kind of prayers, then we can automatically bring it when we are chanting. So the mood of our japa is automatically very enhanced when we keep such prayers in our mind when we chant. Another aspect of these prayers, if we are able to remember these prayers, is that Archanam, for example, Archanam needs a vigraha. Archanam, deity worship, it needs a Ashtavigraha, usually. Shravanam, here it requires someone to speak to us. It requires a speaker. Padasevanam, if we have to do, we have to have some iota of well-being, with our physical well-being is required to do Padasevanam. To do services, we need good health. Okay. Whereas, Vandanam is one which can be done in any situation and there is no dependency on anything. Vandanam is completely independent. So if we remember these prayers, we can say it at any point in time. And such prayers allow our inner mood of devotion to develop. Even when one is incapacitated in performing any external service to the Lord. For example, there is another famous prayer given by Maharaj Kulashekar, which Srila Prabhupada always recites. Kanthavalo, Srila Prabhupada's that Kafavata Pitta. So Prabhupada recites those prayers. Prabhupada himself recited those prayers many, many times. So Prabhupada is underscoring the importance of these kind of prayers by his personal example of reciting these prayers very often. Srila Prabhupada also established for us a program which is replete with such prayers. In fact, since the morning when we start, we do Guru Vandanam. Then we move on to Narsimha prayers. Then we move on to Tulsi prayers. So everything, our whole morning program, if you see, there is japa in between. But that japa is sandwiched between prayers on either side. And then after the japa, there is a recital of Shikshashtaka, which is the prayers which are given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then again, when we start the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we again glorify the Lord by saying, Vandeyam Again we are glorifying Vandanam. So prayer. So Prabhupada gave us a book. And after this class also we will say prasadam, prayers. So our whole morning program, prasadam is over, is interspersed with prayers. So that's another important learning that we have. The mood of prayer, Lord Shiva is being the prayer. Now, the final part is, we see that Lord Shiva's mood here is completely non-envious. At the very outset in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are being told that we cannot have access to Srimad Bhagavatam if we have envy in our hearts. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the Nirmat Satanam Satam. The Nirmat Saranam. So, Matsara means envy. Nirmatsara means person who is completely free of envy. So, no prayer can manifest in Srimad Bhagavatam until and unless it is completely free of the aspect of envy. Now, Lord Shivji, he doesn't have to envy anyone because he is runner-up. So, he will not envy number 3, number 4. So, the only personality who he can ever develop envy towards is Lord Krishna. But in this prayers, therefore, from his point of view, if you see it, he is demonstrating the quality of being absolute, completely non-envious. So, instead of giving his darshan to the prachetas and taking this advantage of giving his darshan and establishing his authority on the prachetas, what he is simply doing, he is directing their consciousness to Lord Krishna. So, he is keeping Krishna in the center, not himself in the center. And he wants to take the Pracheta's focus away from himself and direct their focus towards Lord Krishna. So in this prayers he is showing the quality of being non-envious. He is reminding his disciples, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Arasava Bhritya. It is only Lord Krishna who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not even me. Even I am his servant. And if you see, if you study the Rudra Vedic throughout, the mood of Lord Shivji is constantly, you know, glorifying Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, and he's saying that I am merely your servant. So he's hammering that point. Now, this point also comes out very well in Srila Prabhupada's purport. Again, let us go back and have a look at that purport once again. Then Srila Prabhupada is talking about Atmaram. Srila Prabhupada writes, the word Atmaram refers to those who are not interested in the material world but are simply engaged in spiritual realization. Such self-realized persons are generally considered in two categories, impersonal and personal. Prabhupada writes, however, impersonalists also become devotees when they are attracted by personal transcendental qualities of the Lord. And then he gives the conclusion how Lord Shiva wants to be fixed. Now, why is Prabhupada writing this? So, the impersonalist, as much as the personalist, also knows the difference between matter and spirit. It's not that the impersonalist does not know that. That's the genuine impersonalist. Okay, does not know that. Nowadays, there are no genuine impersonalists also. Okay, so, but a genuine impersonalist, or for example, one who is a true Brahmavadi, because that person also knows that everything is Brahman. They know the difference between matter and spirit. So, they are also not attracted to matter per se, even the genuine impersonalist. But yet, the issue is that in the impersonalistic philosophy, there is no service aspect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The famous words from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Salokya, Sarishti, Samipya, Sarupya, Ekatvam Abhiruta, Diyamanam Nagrhananti, Vina Mat Sevanam Janara. A pure devotee derides the concept of impersonal liberation. Even, not to speak of Sayujya Mukti, that a devotee does not even aspire for proximity to the Lord. I was hearing one lecture by a very exalted Vaishnava the other day, and he was mentioning in a very humorous way that all of us, after coming to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, somewhere or the other, subtly behind, we think that after perfecting our Krishna consciousness, we will be Manjaris. And we will be handing over the garland to Lalita ji, and then Lalita will end up. So, but he said that the real mood we have is that we may be miles away from Lord Krishna even in the spiritual world. As the Das, 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 Dasam, 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 Das. So he was reminding, he said, what makes you think that you will only be a Manjari? Have you ever thought that you could be a tree also, you could be a cow also, and you could be one of those millions of cows in a herd standing right behind, and you can't even clearly see Lord Krishna and So Lord Shivji, so in this purport, Prabhupada is reminding us that a devotee does not even seek proximity to the Lord, even in the spiritual world. What a devotee only wants to attain is that in some way I can be a servant of the servant of the servant. In fact, even if we see the prayers of exalted personalities like Uddhava, and even Brahmaji himself is not even praying for a cow, he is praying to be a blade of grass. The gopis will trample and the dust will come on the grass. So these are the prayers of that personality. So he was mentioning that, and we people are thinking that we have to be Manjari's handing over the garland to Lalita. So here Lord Shivji is also reminding us that the aspect of personalism is higher, and Prabhupada was also reminding us, because there is this aspect of Das Dasa Kudas. It's not just about merging, because we cannot serve impersonal life. To serve, we have to have physical personality in front of us. Now, it is very interesting that Lord Shivji is composing this Rudra Gita and glorifying the personality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because after all, impersonalistic philosophy was also given by Lord Shivji himself. So that is the irony here. The same personality who is giving impersonalism is also giving Rudra Gita here. Of course, even at the end of that particular incarnation of his, of Lord Shiva as Adi Shankara, where he gave this whole life, he gave impersonalism, but towards the end, he also said, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Mudamate. Samprapte Sannite Kali Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukran Karane. Because people were becoming more scholarly than devotional at the end of it. So he says, the scholarliness of you will not save you at the time of death. It's only the devotion that you develop by constantly chanting the names of Govinda, Bhaja Govindam, that will come to your rescue. So here, in Rudra Gita, the very first verse, Srila Prabhupada is picking up that mood of Lord Shivji and telling us that do not desire to merge. Consider your good fortune to be in this movement that you have got the personalistic philosophy, and all of us, Srila Prabhupada is encouraging, inspiring us to engage in service. Now, if you see the Srimad Bhagavatam now, the mood of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout, the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Krishna Sadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adi Visa Kalav Nashta Dasha Mesha Purana Arka Aduna Udita. Srimad Bhagavatam arose at the time of departure of Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna was winding up his pastimes, there was a concern, where will, how will we get Krishna consciousness now? Lord Krishna is leaving, so he is coming in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's not different than the personality of Godhead. And the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is what? There are two goals of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first goal is, the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is to continuously hammer to us that that God is a personality. This is one of the goals of Srimad Bhagavatam. Continuously hammer this message. Lord Krishna, God is a person. And then the second goal is that supreme personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. So these two goals are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see chapters after chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam which are dedicated to establishing and reiterating this main point, or these two main points. Now, Lord Shivji, we see here, assists this cause through the medium of the Rudra Gita, which is manifesting in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, through his teachings, through his services, and through his pastimes, Lord Shivji reinforces that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through three aspects: teachings, through his services, and through his pastimes. So, Rudra Gita is a good example of his teaching, in one sense. There are yet other places also that Lord Shivji uses this opportunity through his teachings to glorify Lord Vishnu. For example, in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text 23, the famous verse comes, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yat Iyate. I can't remember the verse, but it ends with Sattresa Tasmin Bhagavan Vasudeva, he adokshate but if you can flip your phones, you could see that verse. It's 4.3.23. Yes, it ends with that. Where he says, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. So Lord Shivji is saying, even I am paying obeisances to Lord Krishna. So he's directing us towards the Lord. So he's saying that I am not a competitor to Lord Krishna. Then in Padma Puran, he says, Sri Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasra Nama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. He is saying that I derive so much pleasure, which also manifests in Vishnu Sahasranama. He says that I take immense pleasure in chanting the names of Lord Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then again in Padma Puran, he says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam. And then again he says, Tasmat Paratharam Devim Tadiyanam Samachana. So higher than Vishnu worship is the highest, but higher than that is the devotee of Lord Vishnu. So do not leave an opportunity to serve the devotees of Lord Vishnu. And we see here that Lord Shivji is taking that opportunity to serve the Prachetas by becoming their guru. Lord Shivji is also one of the 12 Mahajanas. There is a Sampradaya under his name, which is the Rudra Sampradaya, and which is now manifest as the in the Vishnu Swami. The Sampradaya headed by Vishnu Swami. So again, the Vishnu Swami is the Vaishnava Sampradaya. So through his teachings, through his Sampradaya, he is directing us to Lord Krishna. Through his pastimes also he directs us to Lord Krishna. So he agrees to contact material nature. Now this is not easy. Actually, it is mentioned that Sadashiv is in Sadashiv Lok, which is in Vaikuntha Lok. Okay, so ordinarily, Lord Shiva is direct expansion of Lord Krishna as Sadashiv, and he has got nothing to do with this material world. But because the purpose of existence of Sadashiv is to serve Lord Krishna, and he knows Lord Vishnu will have no contact with the material energy, so Sadashiv says, I will come as Rudra and I will contact the material energy. So he agrees to contact material nature in his form as Rudra, as a separated portion, like the Jivatma. So he comes down almost like a Jivatma, whereas he is not. To assist in delivering people who are in the mode of ignorance, he comes specifically to deliver people, ghosts, goblins, where will they take shelter? People who commit suicide, who are not able to get a body. So Lord Shiva specifically goes, looks for such people and keeps delivering them. Also, he assists in the annihilation in the material world. So he takes charge of the mode of ignorance and he also takes charge of annihilation of this material world. He agrees to serve the devotees. Even in the holy dham, he agrees to serve as Kshetrapal and Dikpal. Through his pastimes, like the pastime of Banasur or Vrikasur, we will not go into the details, and even the pastime of Mohini. Now, my personal favorite is the Mohini pastime, because just imagine, like a lusty man, he is running after Mohini. That Lord Shiv, who kept Parvati on his lap and is giving celibacy, he's explaining celibacy to the yogis, who can never be disturbed by the opposite sex, that person agrees to actually come down from that position and run after the beauty of Mohini. Why does he do that? Why does he allow himself to be embarrassed in public just for the pleasure of, just to establish that yes, I can never be disturbed by the beauty of a woman, but if that woman is not Krishna, then I am subordinate to that beauty. Just to establish this point, he allows himself to be embarrassed. Right? So what kind of devotion this is? Where you have no regard for your respect, position, nothing. All your intent is, how can I glorify Lord Vishnu? So through his pastimes, he does that. Then his compassion to all the living entities, where he says that, okay, now this halal poison has come. If people come in contact with this, nobody will survive. He says that, I will, just to please the devotee and Lord Vishnu, I will take this poison and that's why his throat is Neela Kantha. So he tells Bhavani in chapter, in Canto 8, 7th chapter, text 14, When one performs benevolent activities for others, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleased. Therefore, I am pleased along with all the jivas. I will take this responsibility. Okay? Because Lord Krishna says that I am pleased. If all the jivas are pleased, if my devotees are pleased, so I want to please him by pleasing his jivas. So therefore, I am drinking this poison and let all the jivas be happy because I drink this poison. May they be happy. Not only in Krishna Leela, in Chaitanya Leela also, Lord Shivaji comes as Advaita Acharya. And it is because of the Homokar Garjanadi, which tore the layers of Brahman, the roar of Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya had to come down. So, if Lord Chaitanya even would have wanted to come down later, this plea of Advaita Acharya was like an accelerator. To accelerate his descent. Just like Narada Muni also sometimes accelerates the pastime of Lord Krishna. So, these are the glories of Lord Shivaji. And today, we are commencing with this very beautiful verse. The first verse of Rudra Gita, which completely gives us the mood of Lord Shivaji towards Lord Vishnu. It is little wonder, therefore, that the same Lord Krishna, who cautions all of us, only fools worship the demigods, who did a whole Govardhan pastime only to tell off all of us that do not worship the demigods. He goes and tells the Rajavasis, why are you worshipping this Indra? It is little wonder that the same Lord Krishna, who otherwise cautioned us about demigod worship, never cautioned us about worship of Lord Shivaji. So that is the exalted position of Lord Shivaji Rudra. Though Rudra comes in the form of a demigod, he is still, Lord Vishnu is encouraging us to study this Rudra Gita, and that's how it's become a component of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's 9 o'clock. I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions, comments, or corrections.
We described how this was in part of a Samprarthanika prayer, but aren't all the prayers offered unto Supreme Personality of Godhead in that mood only?
Not necessarily. There are certain final classifications. So not all prayers that are offered, Samprarthanika prayers. Are there other types of prayers also that are there? So yes, the answer is there are other types of prayers also. I do not remember all the classifications, but As I said before, Samprarthanika prayer, Jiva Goswami says, is specifically to remind us of the supremacy of Lord Krishna, to glorify the Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality. There are other kinds of prayers also. For example, another classification is called as the Dainya Bodhika prayers. Dainya Bodhika prayers are outpourings which come out of one's insignificance and helplessness in this material world, where we are constantly praying to the Lord that, oh Lord, let me not, I am very insignificant, I can't do anything. So please protect and save me. Or Dainya Bodhika prayers are also prayers which can be said when you are launching yourself in a big project or a mission to spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, where we are saying those prayers, saying that I am very insignificant. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada, when he was on the Jaladut, out of his immense humility came in the form of Srila Prabhupada's poems, which he wrote on the Jaladutta, where he says that, I don't know Lord Krishna, I don't know why I am here. He knows very well, he took the mission of his spiritual master more than any of his god brothers did, right? So, and after suffering 3 heart attacks in that, he did not even know whether to take a left turn or right turn in the United States, okay? So he goes and he prays to the Lord, saying that, I don't know why I am going, where I am going, but Lord, whatever may be, use me as your mere puppet. May you use me in whichever way that you want. So this is a good example of a Dainya Bodhika prayer. So please empower me to serve you. So may you be happy with may you be pleased. May my spiritual master be pleased with my efforts in the United States. So prayers can also be Dainya Bodhika prayers. So there are several, there are other classifications also, but I don't remember at this point in time all those classifications. Maybe I can read out and offline again. Yes,
we call Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a Mahamantra.
Yes.
And Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also a prayer. should we call it a Maha Prayer as well?
Should we call Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a Maha Prayer?
As well?
Yeah. In my view, yes. I will be corrected by the question. Yes. Yeah. In my view, yes. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a prayer. Because we are Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the meaning of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is energy of Lord. Please engage me in your service. So it's a plea, it's a prayer. So a mantra is not different. A mantra is not necessarily different from a prayer. But a mantra must be chanted in a prayerful mood. Not just for compliance. That is, I mean, I am also guilty of inattentive chanting, so I'm not qualified to speak on that personally. But obviously the seniors have told us this. So but all of us have to chant attentively in a prayerful mood. So it's not different in that sense. Okay. Yes, please.
Thank you for a very nice lecture.
Thank you.
It's been so great to hear your beginning. My only question is, when we, people consider when we are reciting certain sections of the Shastra as to be prejudiced or has to be inclined or coming from one sector, from one point of view, but not a neutral point of view. So what do you have to say to them who consider that these statements are contrived from one point of view and not a neutral point of view?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Say, for example, the recitations from Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Are people in general they consider that to be a Vaishnava sect who only take up the Bhagavatam? The people who are worshipping Lord Shiva, they don't consider Bhagavatam as something to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But they consider this as to be a Vaishnava sect.
Yes.
So people who consider that this sect, that the Bhagavatam in itself is a neutral, like it's a eye-opening scripture, but people who tend to see differences, they see that Bhagavatam is a Vaishnava sect.
Yes.
Text.
Yes.
So how do we establish that this is not a Vaishnava point of view, but a neutral point of view?
Yeah, so we have, again, I go back to the same point. It is mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam, only a person who is Nirmat Sadaram, with non-envious of Lord Krishna, can have access to Srimad Bhagavatam. So people who are so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, they are actually not devotees of Lord Shiva. One cannot be a pure devotee of Lord Shiva unless one is a devotee of Krishna. But they will not understand that because they are envious of Lord Krishna. In India it happens. I myself come from what we call as the Iyer family. Okay. In Tamil Nadu we have two sects, Iyer and Iyengar. Iyengar are the people say that Iyer means horizontal line on the forehead. Iyengar means vertical line on the forehead. So Iyers, they put ash. So my whole childhood I used to have that ash on my forehead like this. I'm not saying it's not good. Yes, there is like obviously ash in itself is not something bad. Neither is Lord Shiva worship. So I was told since my childhood we are Shaivites. Okay. And then I have also seen the other side. It's not on the other side. Iyengars who are vertical liners, they are very humble. It's not like that. You know, I have had visitors come to my house and say, "You people are Shiva worshippers? We are Iyengars. We never go to Shiva temple." And they are very proud of that. And then I was feeling very guilty all the time. Am I doing something wrong or what? So neither these Iyengars nor Iyers have any concept of bhakti. Okay? So bhakti is beyond Iyer, Iyengar and all the designations. So most of mankind is foolish. Because they have not studied the scriptures. We have never attempted to open the Bhagavad Gita. Even the Iyengar, if you ask them, have you opened the Bhagavad Gita? That day, when I was doing book distribution outside Crossways, that was 3-4 years back. So I was trying to give a book to somebody, and this mama had he was typical Iyer mama, with a veshti, what's a veshti? He was wearing this, and he was coming down from somewhere. And then I gave a book. I said, I didn't ask him, are you from Melbourne or out of town? It was very evident. So, I told him that this is a Bhagavad Gita coming for him. And he said, "Don't give me all this. I know all this. I have studied all this. I know everything that is there in this book. So obviously I can't ask him, how many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita? He will be offended. So I asked him, it's wonderful that you have studied this. Which is your favorite topic in the Bhagavad Gita? Obviously you are not able to answer because you never opened it, right? So he extremely proud. Okay. So therefore, people who have, there are only two categories in one sense. People who are proud and people who are, at least, I mean we are not saying that as Vaishnavas we have overcome pride. But at least there is something that we have accepted, that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are vritta-vritta-vritya, right? So, but it's not easy for most people to accept that, okay? And these people who are worshippers, who call themselves as worshippers of Lord Shivji, why are they attached to him? Not because of Lord Shivji. Tomorrow, if Lord Shivji by chance gives them an instruction to chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles, they will, trust me, they will change their loyalty. It is only because they think that whatever material benedictions they are getting is by the mercy of Lord Shiva. That's why they are attached. Same thing comes even with for other personalities. For example, people who say, no, Shirdi Sai Baba is God for us. It is not that they have some attachment to him in the capacity that he is God. Of course, he is not. But it's not that they consider him as God. It is because their material benedictions or are being fulfilled. They do not even know that if you pray to some demigod, it is quite possible that because of your karmic bank balance, something will get fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, so they do not understand that. So people who do not understand Sambandha, Abhideya and Parayotana Tattva will never get out, unless they make a conscious attempt or by the mercy of a Vaishnava. They get, come in touch with the Vaishnava, till that time they will never come out of that ignorance. They will be in perpetual ignorance, thinking that they are devotees of Lord Shiva, when actually they are only devotees of their own mind and senses. Right? That is why it is said that, what is the famous verse? Manorathena sati dhavato gadbahi. What is that first line? Krishna abhakta puto mahatguna. Manorathena sati dhavato gadbahi. So such people only run in the chariot which is driven by their own mind. They will never surrender. So that is my limited understanding of that.
Thank you.
Okay, because it's 9:10 now, I'll stop now. And any other further questions we'll take offline. I don't want to delay them. Prashadam. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.